mystery creators. Welcome to another episode of Dad Pod. My name is Roy Balmy. Alongside me is Chris Cody. Say hello, Chris.
Oh, Roy. Now, see, I'm not alongside of you. I'm actually on top of you in my Zoom camera. Now, you're going for the whole studio feel. You want people to think that we are in the same studio recording this, but you are lying to the people. We are not alongside each other. Now, before we get to Elle Duncan, because we have a very fun interview with her that we want to get to, I think it was my turn to talk first today, Roy. And I'm not saying that like there's some tension in the dad pod relationship, but we've been playing ping pong with that, going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I believe you spoke first last week, and it was my turn this week.
Yeah, I believe that is so, Chris. So yeah, you can go ahead and you can start off.
And no, we're not going to redo this with me recording first. We are going to keep this playful riff in the recording because it eats time up and it proves that me and you have a fun and friendly relationship.
Yeah, that's also called acting. And we don't necessarily have that type of relationship, but we act like we do. And we are filling time so we can get to the beginning of the Elle Duncan podcast.
I think if there was an award given out for a podcast duo who seem like the best of friends in real life outside of the podcast, I think we'd be nominated. I don't think we'd win, but I think we would be nominated because of our rapport, Roy. Like just flow right into each other with our words.
Yeah, it's just like on Scrubs. It's guy love. It's love between two guys. Yes.
Gov. All right. We got a fun one today. We got Elle Duncan. You see now how I'm hogging the ball because it was my turn to talk first. So I'm just
I passed it to you, though.
I'm very passive aggressively just hogging all of the airtime in this intro. So we are going to get to Elle Duncan. That's Roy Bellamy. This is Dad Pod. We're having a great time, and we had a fun conversation with Elle Duncan. Let's get to it.
Yippee.
Before we get into your husband and all that stuff, let's talk about your dad. When I say Father's Day to you, what is the first thing that you think of with your dad and Father's Day?
Man, I think about this event that we used to do in Atlanta that was like this father-daughter dance, which is basically like prom with your dad. And I know it sounds creepy, but it's not creepy. It's actually really sweet and cute because it's like fathers and daughters of all ages. So you would see people like you guys who are young with 2-year-olds, but then you would see, 60-year-old women with their 85-year-old dads. And he just used to light up. Like my sister is 6 years older than me and the definition of a tomboy. She's never worn a dress in her life and liked it. And to see her like full hair and makeup and these gorgeous gowns and, we would always rent a car and he would get to dance with us. And this is before I was married. My sister's not married. So this is before the sort of walking down the aisle and passing your daughter on. He just used to light up. I've since moved. And so we aren't able to go to those anymore. But when I think of Father's Day, I just think of that run of like 4 or 5 years of absolutely making his day and the pride. Like when you go to take the prom picture and, he's sitting there with his 2 girls behind him because my dad is just like the absolute best.
This isn't one of those stereotypical movie things where you're stepping on his feet and dancing at the same time.
Hell no. I was like 32 years old. No, a little too heavy for that.
Well, was there an emotional moment, because this is later in life, was this a emotional moment when you actually left the nest for the first time?
I think it really didn't hit me how much I missed my dad and my mom until I moved away. I moved away over 6 years ago now, and just not having them there, it was just reflexive. Like my dad was, even when I had boyfriends or was in significant relationships and was old, like too old to be calling your daddy for stuff, he was just always there. And it was just, I always had that comfort. Like no matter what happened, daddy was there. And so not having that anymore and sort of relying on my then boyfriend and now husband was really emotional, because it was like, he was always the man in my life. Even when I had a man in my life, it was just dad. So it hit me then. They're talking about moving to Connecticut now and hoping to move here in the next few months. And like, that's made me emotional. Oh, wow. The idea that he'll be back again and I'll never take him for granted again. So, so yeah, it's been good. But no, at first I was just like any other 18 or 19 year old. Like, I can't wait to be free. You guys are so oppressive. You're so ridiculous. I hate you. Such a joke.
Now, with my father growing up, I always made fun of him because, dads, they do things that are very easy to make fun of. So do you have
you still do.
I do still make fun of my dad to this day. And I'm wondering just like funniest story growing up or something you always make fun of him about.
Yeah, my dad's like the king of, so he went through this phase for a really long time where if we would ask for something, he would take the turn of phrase and turn it around on us. So we'd be like, Dad, can we go to Dairy Queen? Can we go to Dairy Queen? And he'd be like, I'll queen your dairy. And it was just like, none of that even makes any sense. Right? Like, it was so annoying and weird. Like, he would do it about everything. You would just be like, that doesn't even make any sense. We make fun of my dad for many things. He has a freaking panther grip. Like, this man will break your hand when he shakes your hand. And he doesn't mean to. He's just like, he's got these bear paws and they're just like rough and large and he's just aggressive as hell. He has, here's one. My dad, as a side hustle our whole life, he either coached us or he would ref like basketball games or he would umpire softball games. And he is so theatrical. Shocker. I don't know where I got it from. And so we would always make fun of him because, like, it wouldn't just be like an out. Like, my dad would do like a jump and he'd be like, you're out! And it was just so extra. We're like, Dad, this is like beer league softball. What in the hell? Yeah, like, you know, and it was just like, or, you know, he would, like, for a strike, like if he was behind the plate, like, and it was the third strike, he would come from around the plate, point at the plate, and then go, you're out! It was just so extra, and he just did everything extra, and we still make fun of him for that. You would have thought this man was on like the pantheon of referees as opposed to just a group of dudes that were like 50 years old at the Y. I mean, he was so extra.
That is great.
That is great. So much.
Describe the moment of him walking you down the aisle when you got married to Omar.
Wow. It was cool. It wasn't even when he was walking down me down the aisle. It was when like he opened the hotel room and I was there in my dress ready to go. You know, it was emotional. He was certainly emotional. I didn't let him see my dress ahead of time or anything like that. And again, it was just sort of this very symbolic, like I'm passing you on. But I think that, I mean, hell, I was no young bride. Like I was like 35 years old when I got married. So I think there was a certain element of like, thank God it's finally happening for her. It was cool because I think we, in many ways as women, do try to find guys that are a lot like our fathers. And I thought for many years I was sort of setting an impossible standard. Like, I kept telling myself, like, okay, your dad is of an old time. Like, nobody's gonna be like your dad. Like, no one's gonna be so loving and so, you know, he's not perfect, but God, he's like, in many ways to me, he was not just as a dad, but as a husband. You know, he set this incredible example. And again, he was always there for his family and he traveled a lot, but he somehow never missed a softball game. Or like if he did, he would do whatever he could to get there early and at least see an inning, you know? And I played softball from the time I was 3 till I was 18 and we played competitive softball. And nonetheless, he would still have his ass right there in the outfield barking crap at me, like scouting and, you know. And I guess I just never thought that I would ever find anyone who would be able to deliver in every aspect of his life, you know, providing financially, providing emotionally, being there in every facet. So when I met my husband, Omar, I was like, this is the closest thing that I've ever met to my father. And like, I'm going to seal this deal and I'm going to trap him. And I trapped him. I did. I trapped him right away.
Is there a funny story of your dad seeing you either on TV for the first time or on SportsCenter for the first time, like bragging to his friends? Was he like a bragging dad?
So when I used to do radio, remember when I told you we worked in the same building?
Yeah.
I did radio in that building and people would come up to me and be like, I met your dad, you know, just random like strangers, like, you know, listeners or whatever from the radio station. They'd be like, I met your dad. I'm like, really? How do you know it was my dad? And they're like, oh, because, well, he carries a headshot of you in his briefcase. And whenever somebody undoubtedly mentions like their child, he pulls your headshot out and is like, this is my daughter and she's on the radio. I was like, oh my God. He literally used to carry a headshot in his briefcase so that if anyone was like, it didn't even have to be about kids. Like they could just be like, oh yeah, I heard on the radio today that it was going to be 75 degrees. He'd be like, speaking of the radio, my daughter is Elle Duncan. This is her. And she is on the radio. I'm like, he is very proud of his girls. But what he does that I love so much right now is he will watch my show and like, he watches it religiously, even though he goes to work. Like, he tapes it in his office and then watches it at lunch. He'll watch the show, and then later on I'll call him, and he'll be like, yeah, did you hear that the MLBPA, that they denied
something that
like,
you said
saw
on your
that on my show. What are you talking about? Like, he'll tell me all the things from my show. I'm like, literally, you saw that on my show this morning, Dad. That's why you know that. And he'll be like, right. I'm like, what the?
It's like you took notes.
Apparently, but like, he says it to me like it's breaking news. I'm like, A, it's my job to know this crap. And B, you literally saw it on my show today.
This is a shot in the dark question, but has he ever seen you on TV with something like a Sports Center that was re-airing or something you had pre-taped, and he's like calling you like, what are you, like, you're on my TV right now? But like, I just imagining a dad being confused by taping stuff.
Yeah, he will see that, and then he'll get super pissed. Like, he'll be like, you didn't tell me. So right now there's a This Is Center commercial, or a This Is Sports Center special with Steve Levy that just keeps re-airing. I mean, we taped it weeks ago, and he'll text me and be like, excuse me, like, you told me you were off today. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm watching you right now. I'm like, Dad, there's these things called specials, and we tape them, and they rerun them, you know? Like, my parents get pissed if I don't tell them my full schedule. Like, if I get called in for something, or, like, if he knew I was doing this right now, and I didn't tell him, he'd get pissed. So you did Mystery Crate, and you didn't even say anything? I'm like, oh, my God, it's insane.
Yeah, you might want to text him.
I need to tell him, honestly.
Angriest your dad's ever been with you, if you can share.
Ooh. Oh, I was in middle school, and we were moving from Florida back to Atlanta. My parents had just put the house up for sale, right? And you know, when you're about to sell a house, you fix everything up, like, it looks great. They got out of town for 2 days. My sister was 6 years older than me, and she's incredibly gullible. And I convinced her to let me just pull her car out of the driveway. I was like, I'm just going to pull it out of the driveway, like, NBD. I go to pull it out of the driveway. The problem was, I pull it out of the driveway, I turn, but then I just keep going into a U pattern, and I drove her car through our fence. And I was about 4 yards from driving it into our pool.
Oh my God.
That's a problem.
So Kelly calls them. She's like, something happened. And of course, the first thing they're doing is they're freaking out, like, is everybody okay? She's like, everybody's okay. She's like, but we had a little bit of an accident, and she hit something, but everything's going to be fine. Like, wouldn't give too many details. And then they come home, and like, he walks in the house, and you know, my father is a brown skinned black man, and he was the color of this dress. Like, he was like, you, like, and he's never been one to call names, but he was like, how stupid could you be? What the hell is wrong with, and you? Then he looks at my sister, because at that point it falls on her, right? She's the adult. She's 18. Mm-hmm. He's like, and you? He's like, of course she's going to ask to do something so stupid. She's a stupid 12-year-old. How could you be more stupid than she is? It was amazing.
In all honesty, that is on your sister, right? I mean, you're 12.
Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was 12 years old. Like, she should have 100% been like, no, you're not driving. She let me talk her into it, because that's just who she is. And she's a sweetheart, but it got her punished that day.
What was the situation where your dad was your biggest hero?
Wow. I've had a lot. So I've got one. I was headed to a boyfriend's house at the time. I was working very late. He lived very far out from downtown Atlanta where I lived. And my dad was one of those, like, text me when you get there. I don't give a damn. Like, if you're headed to your boyfriend's house, like, still text me. And so it was probably 2:00 in the morning, and I'm driving, you know, in North Georgia, which is not a place you want to be driving and break down. And my car, like, my tire goes flat. And I was like, oh no. I call AAA. They're like, it's going to be an hour. And so I call my dad, and right away, obviously, he's panicked. It's 2:00 in the morning, and his daughter's calling. What's wrong? That's how he answers the phone. And I was like, Dad, I was like, I'm okay, but I have a flat tire. He was like, where are you? And I told him the exit, and he knew that is not an exit that you want your daughter to break down on. He was like, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And again, I'm not exaggerating. This place is at least 45 minutes to 50 minutes away from where he lives.
Wow.
He was there in 20 minutes. I don't know how he pulled up, and I was like, how the hell could that have possibly happened? He stayed on the phone with me the whole time. But again, it was just indicative of like who my dad always was that like he was in the car within seconds and to me within 20 minutes and what should absolutely have been a 50-minute drive. He got me all patched up because, again, of course, as he noted, you can't depend on your boyfriend. He didn't answer the phone. He was asleep. Like, what if I had not? You know, but that's what happens when you have a kid. Like, you never fall asleep, right? You always have one ear ready. And that's exactly how he was. And I'm glad he answered that night. I don't know what I would have done.
Give us the situation that your dad is the strangest in. Like, my dad is so weird when we go to restaurants. Like, he has to be like, if we wait too long for a table, like, he's just so weird. The parking situation. Is there just like one area that your dad is just like, yeah, he's so weird when it comes to that stuff?
Yeah, when we travel, my dad is so like over amped when we travel. Like, he's a guy who, this is like before 9/11, where you would have considerable, you know, delays trying to get to the airport and everything and get through TSA. Just to fly like domestic, like, he was like, we have to get to the airport 3 hours early.
Oh, I'm
like,
that's
it's
the
not
worst.
International. It's so annoying. I'm like, Dad, our flight's at noon and he wants to get there at 9 a.m. I'm like, it does not make it make sense. It's so bad. And he just gets so like, example, we had to go to Denver last year for a family funeral, and me and Omar and the baby were out there, and my dad was going to take us to the airport. Our flight left on the Sunday morning. Our flight left at 7 a.m. Okay. My dad was awake at 3. And as soon as I woke up, because I got up maybe at like 4, you know, so I could sort of like get the baby together and all that. He was like, all right, right now, according to Google Maps, it's going to take us exactly 36 minutes to get there. I was like, Dad, it's 4 and we're not leaving till 5. I think 5 is cutting it. I was like, Dad, it's a Sunday morning at like 5 a.m. No one is on the streets. And he just kept refreshing. I could see him in the corner just refreshing, 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 and just watching the traffic patterns. And see, he gets so anxious and it's so weird and it drives our whole family nuts. We're like, take a Vicodin and relax.
It's so good. Maybe that's just a dad thing. My dad's like that too with the airport. God, it's like, we don't need to be there 4 hours before the flight.
It's insane.
Let's move on to your husband now.
Now, Elle, I know you had your mind on other things, but why don't you give us your take of how Omar was in the delivery room?
He was a champ. I mean, I had a really tough, really tough delivery. I was 8 days late. I had to be induced. I was in labor for almost 3 days. And then I pushed for over 3.5 hours before finally they were like, the baby's heart rate's dropping and we have to do an emergency C-section. So really when he came through for me the most, besides, you know, holding my knee, because that's what they do, right? My mom had one knee and he had the other during the pushing part, was when we had to do the C-section. And the doctor looks at me, because I don't know if you guys, if your wives were able to give birth naturally or not. Yeah, they were. Okay. So when you're laying on the operating room table, they have like a big sheet, but you can look up and they have this tiny little mirror that sort of shows your stomach. So I'm literally watching him cut me open and I see him take the baby out of me because you can't feel anything, obviously. You're super numb. As they take the baby out, I don't hear anything, right? Which is the worst. And my doctor stands up and goes, okay. He's like, everything's okay. He's like, but your baby is a little bit stunned. And I was like, what? And he was like, she's just a little bit stunned right now. And I was like, what does that mean? And again, this whole time, I'm just not hearing her cry.
What a terrifying thing to say to a mom.
Yeah.
She's stunned. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. She's stunned. Like, what?
Bad bedside. Like, man, right.
I was like, what are you talking about? And so I can't see because again, there's this huge sheet and it is blocking my view of the whole hospital room. And he's like, they're working on her and everything's okay. You know, they're just working on her. And I can hear the nurses. They're like, come on, come on, sweetie, come on. And I can hear them sucking and I can hear them, you know, I can hear all of that. And Omar, all I can see is Omar. And so I'm just looking at him and I'm like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, yeah. Everything's okay. You know, he's smiling this very fake smile where I can see the concern, but also like, this is all she can see. So let me just keep it together for her. And he's smiling. And then all of a sudden, what seemed like 5 minutes, but I think in reality it was about 45 seconds. I hear the nurse go, there she is. And then I just hear, and I was like, he was like, she's okay. Everything's good. He's like, she's moving. I can see her. Everything's good. And so apparently what happened, and what's funny is I say that, like he said, she's stunned. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Until they brought her over. You guys, she stopped crying like right away. They brought her over to me because they had to take her to the NICU for a while. Apparently she had meconium aspiration, which is basically she pooped inside of me and she inhaled her own poop, which can be very dangerous.
Hey, when
and,
that happens.
Right? Isn't it the worst, right? When you're just like, oh my God, I just drank my own poop. sounds like a night at the frat house. which, by the way, drinking your own poop is sort of like the equivalent of drinking Mr. Boston's vodka. Let's be real.
yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah,
you get that idea. That's what it tastes like, I imagine. And they bring her over to me and they're like, we'll let you spend a little time with her before we take her to the NICU. And one of the side effects of having a medication and being numbed is that you have very bad shakes. So I couldn't hold her because my arms were like this. So Omar holds the baby against my chest so that I can hold her. And y'all, her face, when they brought her over, she literally was like this.
Stunned?
Didn't blink. And I was like, that is a look of a stunned baby. Like, he was right. He described it perfectly. She literally was like, she couldn't believe what had just happened to her. She was completely traumatized, as anyone would be if they drank poop, right? But he was so there for me in that moment, really keeping me calm in what was the longest 45 seconds of my life, really.
Hey, I drank poop and now I'm here. That's basically what happened.
I survived. I should get her a shirt. I can't believe I never thought of that.
All right, so now that we've painted him in a good light, now we can have some fun. What is like the most ridiculous argument you guys have gotten into about, like, you know, like, no, I think she should go to bed at 8:30. No, she should go to bed at 6. Just like some funny like disagreements you guys have had about parenting.
Yeah, so we have had like a lot of discussions about, like, I'll do things where I swear to God I was never going to be that parent that was like, my child will never have fast food on her lips, not until she's old enough to make that decision for me. Like, I swore I was never going to be that person. And then I started finding that I would say that kind of ridiculous crap. And, you know, it's taken Omar like a lot of times to be like, are you serious right now? Like, are you really not going to let her have like French fry? Like, are we, he was like, what is wrong? Like, we'll argue, you know, we'll bicker about little things like that. We don't typically argue over much when it comes to her. I definitely had to have a good talking to with him at first. You guys could probably relate. When they're little and the poop gets in the, and then you have to like,
yep,
you know, and he was like, it just feels weird, mm-hmm, getting in there. And yep, I'm like, it doesn't matter. You got to get in, yep, there. Like, I recognize it's gross and weird to like have to do that to your daughter and spread them.
Yeah, it was that is definitely an issue.
Oh,
there
look
she
at
is. Hi.
Can you say hi?
Hi. Are there any fun games that Omar likes to play with her?
Fun games that Omar likes to play with her. we have this like DJ game that he likes to play with her where he lets her like DJ. It's called Drop Mix and it's cards. But he finds himself getting very annoyed because, shockingly, she doesn't understand beats and rhythms. And so he'll get really upset with her and like, how dare you combine Skrillex and Evanescence? Like, ooh, no one does that. Which is really funny to me because I'm like, again, she doesn't, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but Elle, there's no excuse for that.
It's true. You do have to teach them young because that is unacceptable. I mean, the fact that Evanescence made its way into the game to begin with is sort of a travesty.
That's right.
You know what I mean? He gets really upset with her when she turns off, like, she'll tell Alexa to turn something off, like, if Outkast is playing, you know, and she'll be like, no, here, go in there. She'll be like, you know, Exa, play Elmo. And he's like, how dare you turn off Outkast in favor of Elmo? Like, are you insane? Are you crazy? He'll get like very upset with her about that, which is pretty funny. We're just a really playful family. He plays with her in all kinds of ways.
A couple of days ago, this is just something happened to hear. My wife was upstairs in the baby's room. They were, you know, fold. My kid does this thing now where she says she's folding clothes, but she's really just throwing all the clothes, yeah, from the drawer just everywhere on the, yep, floor. And my wife, so she's up there dealing with her, and all of a sudden my wife just gets this annoyance like, why am I up here alone and where's my husband? And she looks, yeah, over the balcony of our loft and I'm playing NCAA football on PS3. And that, like, do you have any examples of that where your husband, it's like, hello, like, can I have some help here?
We've been having some work done on our backyard, so he'll just sort of conveniently disappear for a while and like, she'll be losing it. I'll be trying to get some work done. I'm writing something. I'm taking a conference call. She's screaming about cookies or Elmo or whatever. And I'm like, where is your dad? And come to find out, he's in the backyard, like, shooting the ish with the contractors. They're talking about, in a perfect world, how they would, you know, build a fortress in the backyard and like, it's never going to happen. I'm like, why are you talking to him about where a pool would go when we're never putting a pool in? I don't understand why you feel the need to just go hang. A, you're preventing them from doing their job and it's already taking too long. And B, this child is going nuts. Like, he knows her witching hours. So at 4 o'clock, it's all hands on deck, sir, because she's going to lose it. So yeah, that happens a lot. Or my husband is really good at keeping in contact with people, and I love that about him. But he's old school, and where it's not enough to text, like, he like calls people half and they hour have like
conversations,
right? Like, no longer. And I'll just be like, hey, like, where have you been? And he's just like, oh, I was talking to my friend Lex for an hour and a half, just catching up. And I'm like, how long has it been since you've talked to Lex? He's like, psh, weeks at least. I'm like, oh my God. If you've talked to them within the last month, that conversation can be on text.
Right. Exactly.
That's WebMD perfect, by the way. Her in the background. This is what we're doing right now. It's absolutely perfect.
I don't know what she's doing. She's just saying, where are you? And I don't know what she's referring to. oh my God.
Well, you have a beautiful daughter and you have a beautiful family. Just,
oh, by the way, she's now reading Amistad. So.
Oh, wow. That's heavy. That's a heavy subject for a 2-year-old right there. Yeah. Oh,
she's abandoned him for Mickey. There we go. All right.
Ah, no.
The turn of events.
Oh, Duncan.
Yes, that is on my bookcase. Yeah, it is. I have not read a single one of these books on this bookcase. He actually has. Like,
it's a good background, though. It looks great.
You look
great.
Nice decoration.
Very well read. Very well
read.
Yeah,
it's mostly for decoration, but, you know, it's fine.
It looks good for TV. It works.
Yeah, thanks.
You have a beautiful family, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Chris.
L. Duncan, everybody.
That was L. Duncan.
That was fantastic. Great interview there.
Yeah, that was really fun. She's cool. Her star is on the rise.
Yes, clearly, yes, it is.
The opposite of Roy Bellamy and Chris Cody at ESPN. We can agree.
Yeah, we're drowning.
Yeah. But what do we have going on the Levitard and Friends Network? Roy Bellamy.
Well, over there at the old Laugh Network, we got That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. We got the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Mike Smith, it's America. We got South Beach Sessions. I heard South Beach Sessions. They just interviewed Hank Azaria. That was the episode I listened to. That was a very good.
I listened to the Marty Smith's America last week with Stu Gatz. That was really good because you get some fun, goofy Stu Gatz talking about Marty Smith like almost getting shot on the White House lawn, and you get some serious Stu Gatz where he, you know, talks about like him and Dan's relationship. It's really cool. You should check it out.
And speaking of Stugatz, stupidity, you should check that out as well.
All right, Roy, I think it's time for us to get out of here because I think most people probably just start tuning out when we get to this portion of the program. So if you're still here, thank you for listening. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, do all that jazz, unsubscribe, unrate, unreview, and then redo it. This has been the Mystery Crate. This has been Dad Pod. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Or later in this week if we release two.
Oh, yeah.
But probably next week, but we might talk to you later in the week. We're not sure yet.
Most likely, yes. That's yeah.
Most likely what? Most likely he'll talk to us later in the week or next week?
Probably later in the week or next week. Oh, both. Who knows?
Riffing it.
And living it.
Who's going to keep going?
I don't know. I can't right now.
Will this episode ever end?
Probably not.
We're still here.
Yeah. Haven't closed yet.
All right, bye.
See you later.
All right, seriously, though. See ya.
You still here?
All right, bye.
Bye.